Welcome to Voicing Startups, where I, Colin Bournes, interview founders and operators changing the world through audio, voice, and conversational technology. This week on the Voicing Startups podcast, I am talking with Peter, founder and CEO of Home Service AI. Home Service is the ultimate AI chatbot and voice assistant for vacation rentals and hotels. Home Service is used by hosts and property managers to ensure that their guests have a great experience through the use of conversational technology. The end result of this for property managers is time saving and higher customer reviews, which can both help a business's bottom line. I hope you enjoy this interview with Peter of Home Service on Voicing Startups. Hello, Peter. Thank you for coming on the Voicing Startups podcast.
Thank you so much, Colin, for hosting us.
Can we start with just a quick background of yourself?
Yeah. So my background is actually in engineering. I'm from Boston. I grew up in Cambridge in Boston. I went to school at BU for computer engineering. And then everything that I've done after college and actually during college as well has sort of been in the early stage startup world. So after college, I worked at two startups. And then last year, around 14 months ago, I founded Home Service, and I've been building conversational AI for hospitality ever since.
Cool. So what exactly is Home Service and the key value proposition?
Yeah, so I used to travel a ton for work, roughly once to twice a week. I was out for a night or two nights. So I was doing like 10 or 11 trips a month for work. And you know, it's the hospitality world is coming to the place where a lot of people, especially millennials, younger people, the people who are really driving the industry, are staying in shorter term rentals, Airbnbs, VRBOs, HomeAway, stuff like that. And even smaller, you know, boutique hotels, just because the experience is a lot more interesting. It tends to be a lot more affordable and a lot more flexible for a lot of business travelers. And I noticed that when you scale down a hospitality offering such as a hotel or a rental, the amount of bandwidth that these businesses have to address customer support and sort of customer success decreases substantially. They don't have the funds, they don't have the resources, they don't have the people to really make customer success and customer support a priority of what they do. So I hacked together a prototype. A couple of my friends are very active hosting on Airbnb, and myself as well. So I hacked together a prototype, and the initial, you know, V1 was a voice app that would sit on an Alexa or a Google Home in a rental that guests could talk to when they were there to ask all sorts of questions about the rental, local recommendations, extending stays. So we tied into APIs from Airbnb and HomeAway so they could extend a stay, message directly with the hosts through the voice skill. And it turned out that people really wanted this type of functionality. So it's evolved quite a bit since then. What Home Service is right now is basically an all-in-one conversational AI platform for vacation rentals and smaller hospitality venues. So what we do is we handle the vast majority of conversations and messages and engagements that happen throughout the entire guest cycle from pre-check-in through in-stay, and then all the way through post-stay engagement. So pre-check-in, we make sure that they can find whatever they need. They can get to the rental. They can get to the unit. They can get whatever information they need to plan their trip before they arrive. In-stay, it's obviously very similar to what the initial Home Service experience was, you know, asking questions about the rental, getting whatever support or information they need, and then getting sort of like guided experiences or guided, I guess you could say, sort of, you know, like a virtual guide for whatever area they're in. And then post-stay, we use a lot of this conversational ability to continue engaging with guests on behalf of the rental or on behalf of the hotel to make sure that they, you know, leave good reviews, that they're promoting the rental or the venue on social media, and just essentially growing their business through that channel as well. So the value prop is sort of twofold. Number one, obviously we save people a ton of time. I think the average host that uses Home Service saves roughly 4 to 5 hours a week with our AI. And when you consider that a lot of the people that use Home Service have 5 or 6 or more properties that they manage, this really adds up quite a bit. And it's almost like automating a full-time position for customer support. The other big value add that we provide to our users is the sort of increase in business awareness, insights, and sort of growth that this sort of AI is able to provide. So throughout the course of a stay, we do a lot with sentiment analytics and language understanding to figure out how happy people are. So we're able to really pinpoint exactly, you know, what's working, what isn't working, what they need to improve on, what is really contributing to their guests' happiness and their guests' success, and then tailor the engagement that we have with guests based on their level of satisfaction. So it's sort of a twofold thing in terms of the time saved and then the insights, analytics, and then, you know, growth drivers that we provide after the leave. That's the value.
Cool. Yeah. I want to definitely dig in deeper to some of the actual features and then the value propositions. But before that, could you talk about exactly who your target customer is? Because I know you talked about the customer support and success, and I'm assuming it's like different type of property managers that may have a few dozen of these properties. And then also, what does the business model for home service look like?
Definitely. So we primarily target hosts and property managers for vacation rentals all the way up through small boutique hotels. So we're targeting people that manage between 1 and 40 to 50 rentals, at least right now. So that's our market, our people who manage or host between 1 and 50. Our sweet spot, or most of our users are hosts or property managers that manage 5 and above. We have a few that are managing multiple hundreds that are piloting with scaling it out to multiple hundred rentals and multiple hundred units.
What sort of like the percentage split between, because you said both like the boutique hotel owner versus also like the more Airbnb style rental. What's sort of like your split between those two demographics?
I'd say right now it's 85-15 between vacation rentals and smaller boutiques.
Cool. All right. Sorry to kind of throw you off track there.
Yeah, no worries. And then in terms of the business model, it's very simple. It's $10 a month per rental or per room. So it's $10 a month per location where it's deployed at.
Very nice. How long has the business actually been around? And then how big are you in terms of customers and different users that you have, or whatever metric you use to track that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so it's been around officially since January of this year. I started the prototype phase in September of last year. So it's been around for roughly 14 months from the initial prototype through the phase that it's in right now. We only really started focusing on growth in April or May of this year, just because there was a lot to iron out with the product itself, you know, in the initial beta phase. But I'd say roughly 14 months from the moment where we thought, you know, this is a good idea, this is something that we need to do, to now. In terms of our numbers, I'd say that we're over 1,000 paying customers. So we're doing quite a bit. We're doing quite a bit there. And then, yeah, that's basically where we're at.
Yes, that's a good chunk of users, obviously, to go forward on. What sort of your plans going ahead to take that initial group of paying customers and then sort of like 10x it or really just multiply that going forward?
Yeah, so we're very aggressive in the ways that we advertise and sell. We know that our product is best in class. We're facing some, I wouldn't call them challenges, but obviously it's a very fragmented market. So the demographics of Airbnb hosts and professionals and hospitality professionals isn't something that's clearly defined. So we're still working on, you know, more clearly defining that segment and targeting it more accurately. But, you know, we've primarily seen that a lot of our growth is driven through word of mouth. So, you know, we have a very good reputation with the people that already used it. And then, you know, we have a lot of inbound interest as well, but primarily through sales. Yes. And getting some of these, you know, finding those sweet spot customers that are in the 30, 40, 50 unit range.
Cool. Before we kind of dig into some of those features that you mentioned, when you give some sort of like a high level overview of the business. Could you maybe walk through maybe a use case of what a customer from the perspective of someone who is going to actually use the home service app or experience, could you walk through what they might be able to expect if they're coming into, let's say, a rental somewhere in Boston or something like that?
Yeah. So for a guest, it's very simple. Prior when they book a rental, whether it's through Airbnb or HomeAway or whatever, they're going to get a message from us on their phone. So we tie into the APIs of these various services. So we're going to be proactively engaging with them prior to their arrival. Our AI is going to prompt them, you know, see if they have any questions about how to get there, if they want to learn anything additional about the rental or area, if they have any, you know, questions about where to find the key or the lockbox or stuff like that. So whatever information they need to make sure that they get there successfully and happily, we'll engage with them prior to their arrival to make sure that they get that. Roughly around their arrival time, we'll again proactively engage to make sure that they got in, that they have all the instructions they need to get into the rental, you know, because every rental is different. You know, everybody keeps their lockbox keys somewhere else. Like everybody has a different code or whatever to get into the unit. So it's very fragmented and very non-conformist. It's not homogenous, you know, as to how these things are set up. So every experience is slightly different. And then this AI makes sure that they have all the information they need to get in and get there successfully.
And are these communications happening through an app or is it through text or what sort of experience is that?
So before they arrive, it's through text. It's come to the point where nobody really downloads apps anymore. And if you can engage with the service through existing platforms like WhatsApp or iMessage or SMS or whatever, or Telegram, whatever people use, it's so much easier to onboard people that way than it is to get them to download an app, you know. And if it's a conversational thing anyway, then, you know, why not do it over text? If it does the same thing that you do over an app, like if the app is a texting app, then, you know, just do it on SMS.
100%.
Literally, like, I don't think anybody builds apps anymore unless it's for a very specific, you know.
Some of the data behind, like the amount of apps downloaded versus used and all that stuff is pretty shocking. So yeah, you're definitely onto something there. It's smart to use the existing platforms and whatnot that are there and leverage what has already been created. Obviously, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And obviously just to sort of build on that, like if you're building a product that is, you know, super accessible through text based or voice based, you know, existing platforms like text or WhatsApp or whatever, like you're covering something like 4 billion people or 5 billion people at least that don't need to add any additional software or any additional tools or whatever to their device to access this service. So it's sort of like a no-brainer of like, all right, here's how we want to interact with these people. Once they're in the rental, obviously they have access to the Google Homes or the Alexas or whatever other smart devices are in there.
And what sort of devices do you guys leverage or use?
Primarily Alexas. We push people to use devices with screens because we're really, really, you know, like we believe that a multimodal experience that something can sort of see, touch, talk to, and feel is the most intuitive and the most sort of, you know, mistake proof. Like it's the least possible, you know, way for people to, you know, misuse it. But yeah, once they're in the unit, I'd say a large percentage of the communications that happen once they're in the rental go through an Alexa or go through a smart device. And then a slightly smaller percentage go through the text and go through the SMS or the messaging vector.
Great. And then could you now dig in deeper on like some of the specific features for home service, some of the different experiences, or maybe some of the most popular use cases and experiences that people use when they're in these rentals?
Yeah. So basically the cycle goes like this. If a host wants to set up home service, they'll create an account and create a property. They have two options. Basically, they can either pull information from their existing listing on Airbnb. It'll sort of pre-populate a lot of the things that we have on home service, like a lot of the fields, a lot of the data inputs that we have on HS, or they can add whatever custom content they want. So once they've set up this property, once they've deployed all of this content, our AI is going to get to work in the background, and it's going to figure out exactly how to build these conversations, you know, how to provide, how to match the context of what guests are asking to the information that a host or a property manager has provided. And then, you know, in the conversations that guests have with home service, they'll get access to all of this information. From the guest side, their experience varies from guest to guest. It depends on what sort of information they're looking for, what sort of features they want, and what they wanted to do. So you have guests that, like a certain percentage of guests, will almost never engage with the platform. They'll ask for stuff like the Wi-Fi password or where extra towels are or what the checkout time is, or can you move my checkout time by 2 hours or something because my plane is running late or whatever. So it's very sort of functional, like one-to-one back and forth, like this is a problem that I'm trying to solve and this information is helping me solve that problem immediately. But then on the flip side, like you're going to have hosts, especially in sort of, you know, let's think about a city like, you know, New Orleans, where people go touristically primarily as opposed to business. You have hosts there that are very engaged, that are going to set up sort of experiences or databases within home service of all the insider information, tips, tricks, recommendations, whatever that they have about the area that guests can then leverage to make their experience or their stay more memorable. And then in those cases as well, our AI is going to get to work. It's going to figure out exactly, you know, what the pertinent information is to what guests are asking and sort of guide guests in a guided experience, basically, and a guided sort of journey throughout whatever they want to experience in the area. So these are typically our most involved guests. Like they're exchanging, you know, 30, 40, 50, sometimes even 100 messages with HS during the course of a day. But they're really leveraging the entire, you know, data set of what a host might have about the rental, the area, and whatever other tips, tricks, suggestions they might have to make the most of their stay.
Cool. So really from the perspective of the property managers, for the one that you're saying, like maybe their units are more business and just kind of straightforward, the users don't need as much information, or it's more predictable, the sort of information that they have. How much more effort is involved for the opposite of this, the sort of like New Orleans example that you explained, where maybe they're trying to really tap into this whole like sort of conversational experience and what it has to offer. Is it a lot more effort on the end of the property manager, or what sort of expectations should a property manager have in order to sort of create a robust or ensure that they're going to have a robust experience available for their customers?
So that is an awesome question. So at the core of what we do is, you know, one of our core mission is to provide an experience for hosts that is as simple and as easy as possible. So with that in mind, you know, it's very important for us to not have a platform where hosts are spending hours sort of like fine tuning and nitpicking things and sort of building out the trees of whatever conversations are going to look like. We leave all of that to the AI. So on the host side, it's very simple. We have a bunch of suggested questions that they can answer. And a lot of these suggested questions are based on geolocation stuff. So, you know, stuff that's relevant to the area. So we try to guide them into providing enough specifics that we can then put together in a conversation to provide guests with information. So on the host side, it's very fire and forget. They fill in or they pull from Airbnb, for example, you know, the specifics of the rental, like where paper towels are, what the check-in time is, checkout time is, stuff like that is. And then we'll guide them in providing whatever additional information they'd like about the local area. And then we'll augment that with publicly available information, you know, events, attractions, stuff like that, to whatever specifics a host or a property manager has provided us with. So on the host side, it's very fire and forget. They sync it up, they add whatever extra information they want. We extrapolate on that using local data as well. And then we build the conversations, or we let the conversations happen with the guest like totally automatically, because everybody's going to talk to it in a different way. So if you try to plan out a conversation in your head, or as a host, if you're trying to think of ways that a conversation would happen, is going to happen, like you're going to get an aneurysm. Like there's so many different ways that people can talk to an AI, or there's so many different ways that a certain situation or scenario can play itself out. And, you know, for that reason, we want to make it as simple as possible for the host. So our AI is the tool which creates the conversations. Like the hosts themselves, like, don't build the flow of a conversation. They don't build the flow of an experience, because that flow is going to change, you know, immeasurably from guest to guest. Like it's going to, like, we've seen such wild variations of how these conversations play out that trying to, you know, shoehorn people into building experiences a certain way, it's just impossible. But what we are seeing is, you know, obviously our platform's getting smarter every day. Like we learn from every conversation that happens through home service. You know, it's one of those like self-fulfilling cycles. Like the more people communicate with it, the more, you know, accurate it gets at figuring out exactly, you know, here's, you know, what sort of experience we're trying to have. Here's the information that we're trying to access. Like, can you help us with this? Because, you know, people, like the breadth of how people talk is so wide that, you know, having this fire and forget capacity and then, you know, having us do the heavy lifting and the hard work was very important to us from day one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just having like just the complexity of conversation and language and all that is so interesting in light of all this technology and whatnot. It's a challenging problem nonetheless, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes over time. Like you said, as the systems get smarter and just better at being able to understand, it's only going to make the experiences better. So that's obviously exciting. But I wanted to dig in deeper a little bit on the value propositions as well. Because the first thing that jumped to my mind when I saw home service is that, oh yeah, this could be something to save time from the perspective of the different property managers. But having really not that much experience, or really no experience at all, being a property manager with Airbnbs or that sort of thing, I don't exactly know what time saving is, or really how much effort goes into managing these rentals. Because at the same time, when I think of managing this, I would think that I would provide a lot of different basic information up front on maybe some sort of written thing to go along with the post, or something like that you may see when you get an Airbnb or a rental of something like that. So could you maybe just sort of better paint the picture of the life of some of your target customers, the small boutique hotel owners and also these property managers, and how they're really seeing these time savings from the product?
Yeah, definitely. So you actually touched on a really good point back there. The fact of the matter is, you know, whatever information you provide to people upfront, like, people are notoriously terrible at digging through old stuff to find the information that they need. Like, people are inherently lazy about stuff like this. You know, and they're just not going to go out of their way. Like, if I can text something and get an immediate response, like, that's a lot easier for me than it is to, you know, dig up some PDF or something that somebody sent me, you know, 6 months ago when I booked the room. And you know, I'm in that boat. Everybody I know is in that boat. Everybody that I know that hosts on Airbnb or manages Airbnb is in that boat, because no matter how much they try to be proactive about providing guests and visitors with the information they need, like, people just don't read it and don't absorb it. And they end up going through the same conversations, the same flows, the same back and forths over and over and over again. So they get into hosting on Airbnb, they're rentalpreneurs, they're trying to, you know, build a business this way. And I think most of the effort's going to be, you know, cleaning the unit after people leave, or taking nice pictures and putting up cool, you know, ads or postings or whatever, and competing that way. And it turns out, you know, that's a very fire and forget thing. Like, once you have a good flow for, you know, managing the physical location of the rental, it's very easy to scale. unless somebody throws a party, I guess, and trashes your house, in which case, but that's like a totally different problem to solve. And they find that a lot of their effort is actually spent on this type of engagement and this type of communication. So, I mean, let's take, for example, you know, let's say I manage 40 rentals across the greater Boston area. And let's say that I have on average two or three groups of people during the course of a week that are staying in those rentals. And I'm using anecdotally, it's sort of an anecdotal thing, but it's based on data from a couple of friends of mine here in Boston that actually do manage 30 or 40 rentals. So they have a team of two people full-time and one person part-time managing 120 different guests or guest groups in the span of a week. So that's 120 conversations a week that happen pre-check-in, or 120 different, you know, flows that happen pre-check-in. Like each one of those flows could have like 5, 6, 7 exchanges. So that's, you know, 700 or 800 exchanges that happens just in the course of a week for pre-check-in. And there's something like 20 or 30 exchanges that happen during the course of a stay. So that's like another, you know, 4,000 or something exchanges that happen. And keep in mind, this is 2.5 people. And then after they stay or after they leave, there's another 20 to 30 exchanges to get people's feedback on the rental, to get them to engage on social media, to get them to leave reviews on TripAdvisor or Booking or Airbnb or whatever. So, you know, in a 30 to 40 person or a 30 to 40 rental operation, you've got something like, you know, 10,000 or maybe less, so like 7 to 10,000 exchanges that happen in a very short period of time. And it adds up. So my friends, they're literally spending like most of their time, like 80% of their day, not 80%, but like 70 to 80% of their day is spent on customer success and guest management. And it's something that you can't really avoid. And,
yeah,
you know, people, like there's a lot of property managers that'll hire virtual assistants out of India or the Philippines or something at a relatively cheap price to handle a lot of these communications. So, you know, prior to this, you know, there were people solving that problem that way. But, you know, they sort of hit this brick wall where they're like, we can't scale anymore because the amount of time and the amount of effort that we're devoting towards engagement is really, really prohibitively high. So the value for them is that they can scale however much they'd like. They can scale up the functionality of these automated messagings however much they like in a fire and forget way. So once they've set it up, once they've provided the necessary information, like once they've, I guess, authorized us or, you know, said like, yes, your AI can take care of all post checkout engagement as well as the in-stay stuff and the pre-stay stuff, they don't have to think about that stuff anymore. All they have to do is, you know, they can, if they want, they can check in on the analytics and see what sort of, you know, how happy people are, how satisfied people are, you know, what the biggest complaints over a rolling 10-day period are, stuff like that. So their role has been, you know, shifted from engagement to the absorption of information. And, you know, if you're exchanging hundreds of messages a day or a week, like it's really hard for a human to quickly derive any sort of, you know, insights from that. Because they're stressed over having to deal with these hundreds of communications. They're stressed over the fact that like 7 people have complained that their towels are dirty or something. So they need to send like somebody over there to, you know, swap that out. You know, they've got much more important things from a business growth perspective to deal with than just these communications. So the value is, you know, they're getting all of this time saved by automating all of these communications, as well as the instantaneous and super accurate analytics that they get related to customer happiness and customer satisfaction.
Yeah. Could you dig a little bit deeper on the actual analytics piece of that and what that sort of looks like?
Yeah. So I'll use an example here. So we're piloting with a hotel in Boston, and it's something like 80% of their travelers are business travelers who are there for 1 to 2 nights. And we started testing our chatbot with them. We started testing our voice skill with them. And we found that the biggest thing that impacted customer happiness was the quality of coffee that came with the breakfast, you know, with the complimentary breakfast. So, you know, these are people that fly into Boston at like midnight or something on a Tuesday night. They have a meeting at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday. They get up after like 5.5 or 6 hours of sleep and they just want food and coffee. But if they need to make like a 20-minute detour before their meeting to find like a Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or something, because whatever they provided at the hotel was garbage, then that sort of, it has this cascade effect on you know, associating that unpleasant experience or that inconvenient experience with the place that they stayed at.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, like,
it like allows for people to be able to find those very small but yet important details that can really make yes. all the difference, right?
And in hospitality, it's one of those industries where, you know, I'm not going to, like, if I buy a laptop or something and I notice that there's like a tiny thing, or if I buy a piece of software or something and I notice that there's like a tiny piece wrong with it that I wish was going to be better, like, I'm still going to give it like a, like, I'm still going to be very positive about it and recommend it to people. But with hospitality, like, if I stay somewhere and it's like perfect, other than like one annoying thing, like, when people are staying in a hotel or staying in a vacation rental or whatever, like, the expectations for perfection are weirdly high, you know? Yeah. And a lot of it comes down to these stupid little details that, like, you just don't think about or don't have the time to think about, or, you know, most regularly, or what happens most often, like, you just don't have the bandwidth to press guests and visitors to leave this sort of like ultra granular feedback that an AI can do. Just because an AI, like, it's not going to complain if it has to exchange like 100 messages a day. Like, it doesn't care, you know, it's just like, great, like, more messages, like, we'll spool up more servers, like, big whoop. Whereas, like, if I'm managing like 5 rentals or something, or 10 rentals, and I'm trying to get, you know, really, you know, granularly down to the bottom of what's bothering a certain group of guests, like, that's going to take up a lot of my time, you know? So that would be like a very pertinent, very sort of like specific example of what those insights are looking like.
Yeah. That's super interesting. And, is super compelling, you know, in the overall, at least from one person's perspective on, like, a success of a product like this, that seems like it could be a really differentiating piece to the overall puzzle, I guess. But from your perspective, how do you differentiate from any competitors that you may have? What really makes you unique and defensible to the competitors that you have in this space?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pretty cool companies that are trying to bring voice into hospitality. I would say that what really differentiates us from everybody else is that we're, at our core, an AI company. So it's like, we're really, like, our technology, our ability to have these really advanced conversations, our ability to provide these really granular analytics and these AI tools is what really differentiates us. So you obviously have a lot of existing services, especially with Amazon and Google, that allow you to do some natural language understanding. But, you know, it's not, I just don't think it's enough to build a product exclusively using those sort of tools. Like, if you really want to build a very defensible product and a really future-facing product, you need to be at your core an AI company and building in a lot of these AI functionalities from the ground up. Because whenever you try to build a product using exclusively other people's technology, you're going to hit a bottleneck pretty quickly in terms of like what you're able to do and what you're able to accomplish with that product. So, I mean, the fact that we're an AI company at our core is our biggest differentiator in terms of our technical defensibility. And then second of all, I'd say that, you know, from day one, we really wanted a very seamless, a very simple, and a very fast experience for both hosts and guests. So building in that fire and forget ability from day one, making the process of setting up a property last less than five, like, literally it takes less than 5 minutes to set a property up and get like all the information you need and all the, you know, connect tools that you need to get it synced up with whatever guests are doing. So that ability to really get started immediately, scale insanely quickly, and manage, you know, tons of devices and tons of different guests and tons of different conversations from one place is a really attractive, it's a really attractive differentiator to our users.
Awesome. And then as 2019 wraps up and we go into 2020, where do you see the product and company going over the next 6 months or so, and then in the next few years ahead as well?
So obviously my main goal is growth and just continuing to grow aggressively. both in the number of, you know, customers that we have and in the scale of our customers. So like, while we're dealing with property managers right now that are running like 40 or 50 rentals, you know, it would be really nice to work with property managers and companies that are managing, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 rentals.
Yep.
Because their problems are the same as the problems that, you know, smaller businesses have. But it's going to be a fascinating challenge and a fascinating sort of exploration to see, you know, how can we scale this product up to effectively work for companies that are managing rentals in the thousands. And then, you know, really long term, you know, it's AI is still in that phase, or any conversational AI is still in that phase where it can't handle everything. And, you know, my vision is to really have this conversational AI be the 100% fallback for every engagement, every communication, and every touch point that happens during the course of a guest stay. So from pre-check-in through in-stay, through post-checkout, you know, all of those engagements, all of those touch points, all of those communications would happen through this AI. And then the data analytics that we able to do on that we'd be able to do on that and that we're doing on it right now, and the learning that we're doing with that and the insights that we're providing would be so incredibly useful. And I think, you know, it's something that hospitality really, really wants, because they look at stuff like e-commerce, where you can track every button click, you know, how long people are looking at a certain listing on Amazon or whatever. And there's tens of thousands on data of data points that you can, that companies can use to optimize the way they sell services. With hospitality, you just don't have that level of insight into what's actually happening with your business. And providing these insights and providing this level of understanding of what's going on underneath the hood, I think would be so useful to everybody in hospitality beyond just vacation rentals. So everywhere where people stay, somewhere like hotels, vacation rentals, boutiques, resorts, whatever, this level of insight into what's happening with their business is going to be incredibly useful. And we're getting there. It's happening very, very quickly, you know, based on the growth that we've seen so far and the technological achievements that we've made over the past year. Like it's right around the corner.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's exciting to see your journey to try and accomplish that over the years ahead. It is something that I think will happen. Ultimately, I hope that your company is the one to sort of figure this sort of thing out.
You and me both. You and me both.
But aside from just home service specifically, and to sort of wrap up this conversation, what gets you just most excited about the voice and just kind of conversational technology space as a whole as well over the next few years?
So I think voice is going to be such a huge, it's going to be one of the biggest ways I think people interact with technology going forward. So I think, you know, devices like Alexa and Google Home have done an incredible job of democratizing voice and making it accessible to everyone. But I also think that, you know, as the abilities of voice technologies get better, like as it gets better at having an actual conversation and as it gets easier to integrate voice tech with everything else that happens in the house, you're going to see like truly connected environments and truly connected experiences that are driven by voice. So I've always been of the belief that just voice alone isn't compelling enough to facilitate or sort of like lubricate a fundamental shift in how people engage with technology. Because, you know, voice is great for conveying information when I'm, you know, speaking to something, because I can be more efficient and say something in like three words that it would take me, you know, 10 times more, you know, time to type out or do or whatever. But then sometimes when you're receiving information, it's a lot easier to read it or see it visually than it is to have it spoken to you, just because of the pace at which words are spoken, for example. But then there's things like when you're trying to have a conversation with something like home service, where, you know, it's a lot faster to get it spoken to you or just texted to you than it is to open an email or open a portal or something and get that information. So my vision for voice, or my view of where voice is going to end up, is it's going to be one of the driving, or like one of the biggest vectors that people use to communicate with technology around them. So everything from connected homes, you know, like controlling everything that's electric in their house through voice, whether that's you know, the lighting, thermostats, audio, coffee machine, you know, oven, whatever, to business, you know, a ton of like business use cases, like booking meetings, like essentially having like a secretary or an assistant that takes care of everything just through voice, just because that's the fastest way to do stuff like that. And then even with e-commerce stuff, you know, like seeing an ad on TV and then being able to talk to the ad to get more information about a product, you know, these sort of like situations where voice is clearly the best option for that type of conversation.
Yeah, I agree with you on pretty much everything you said there. So to wrap up the show, where's the best place for the listeners to either become a customer or just follow what you're doing and just stay up to date with everything with home service?
Yeah, so our website is very simple. It's homeservice.ai, like no spaces or dashes or anything like that, just homeservice.ai. We have a really robust blog, so we pride ourselves on staying like really on top of things that are happening in hospitality, voice, and conversational AI. So we're putting out a ton of really cool content there as well. Like if you're not trying to be a customer, but you're trying to, you know, keep up with what's happening in this, you know, sector, that's another great resource. And we're also obviously really active on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @homeserviceapp. So that is our Twitter handle. And we're really active there, but I'd say like the site, you know, subscribing to our, you know, newsletter, our blog, and, you know, getting some of that content is another, like those are the two biggest ways. And obviously if anybody wants to schedule a demo, then they can just email me, you know, Peter, P-E-T-A-R @homeservice.ai. And I'm very accessible there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Peter, for coming on the Voicing Startups podcast.
Definitely. And thank you, Colin, so much for hosting this podcast. Like all of your episodes have been amazing and I'm looking forward to, you know, more of them.
Awesome. I appreciate that. This podcast is sponsored by VoicePunch VC. VoicePunch is a venture capital fund that is focused on voice-driven and voice-connected technology. So if you are a company or an entrepreneur that has a product that is in this sort of space, much like a lot of the different companies that I am interviewing, then you should reach out to the team by going to voicepunch.vc.